I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach, Tim Lacombe. Jazz win. They beat the Hornets 119-111. Coach Lacombe, you've dubbed it the Talen Horton Tucker game, the THT game, if you will. 37 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds, 9. But I'll add this because it's been an issue for Talen in the past. Only 3 turnovers. He was 14 of 24 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, 7 of 8 at the line. What a game!
And you remember we talked early on because he really had some amazing stuff when he first got here, but he's a little bit raw. And you could see a lot of, you know, high risk, high reward plays. I think what Coach Hardy and their staff have been able to do is be able to dial that back a little bit and certainly have more efficiency, and the plays that he makes more efficient, but still that upside, and that's what we saw tonight.
We should make them shut the door, Coach, not us. Coach Lacombe is sliding over to the door of the studio to close it because we've got some loud neighbors who also have the door open. But it has been a little warm in here. They're, I think, working on the heat, so... Apologies to all the listeners.
You can't handle the heat. Get out of the studio.
Well, the Jazz win. The Jazz were hot. Talen Horton Tucker was hot. What a game from him. And you know what? He does. He has a ton of potential. Raw is a good way to put it. I think he's, you know, is he a point guard? I think that's a big question. Like, we were watching a little bit of the TV broadcast tonight, and they had Trevor Booker sit in with Bowler and Thurl and talk for a while. And he was talking about how he likes Talen Horton Tucker as a point guard. And I don't think that's been the smoothest transition. It's certainly what the Jazz need him to do right now. But maybe he's getting it. Maybe it's clicking because tonight was something special.
Yeah, so the last 2 nights he had 17 assists and only 5 turnovers. And so his vision's great. And you see often him, he'll see cutters. You know, he's one of those guys we talk often about, a guy who can make a point A to point B pass, and that's about in his repertoire. And then there's guys that see all 5 players. And Horton Tucker does have great vision. It's just been his ability to slow down enough to make the play. And whatever the development's been that's we've seen, you know, what behind the scenes, it's definitely been a huge thing for him this year. And I could see him totally, you know, in a day and age of positionless basketball, definitely like a Ron Harper type, you know, that used to kind of share the
interesting,
bring it up, initiate from time to time. But
interesting comp.
It gives you a different, you know, just a different guy that isn't a quote-unquote a point guard but can help do those jobs.
But you know what I like about it, though? Also a really big guard that used his size really to his advantage, Ron Harper. A really good defender. I don't know if Talen is quite the defender
old Ron was back in his day, but I like it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Just the interchangeable, just having a guy that can do those things from time to time.
What his role could be. Exactly. No, I totally get it. I'm intrigued by the comp. I like NBA comps are interesting. But Talen was terrific tonight. We heard on the walk-off from Walker Kessler, who was also awesome. I thought Locke was funny. Where he opened up the interview, he said, you know, you only win 17 and 16, not to mention three block shots, but we're going to talk about somebody else. But that it shows you how great Talen was tonight, because Walker was really enthusiastic, obviously, in talking about him. But Walker Kessler continues to be, I don't even think about him as a rookie anymore.
No, he's played his way through that. And, you know, the opportunity he's had this year to come in, learn early on, and then, you know, we saw, you know, Mike Smith obviously talked about him really early, but we saw the makings of what is now with Walker, and to me, the sky's the limit, because the offensive side of this thing is still, you know, to be shown, but you have to remember he was an offensive guy growing up. You know, it's the way that he kind of learned the game, so he's a much better scorer and shooter than we even imagined, but things he's doing, like tonight, changing the game, making the rim so hard for Charlotte, that's a lot on Walker.
Yeah, Charlotte had their worst game at the rim. We should hit that stat all night. Worst game at the rim of their entire season.
That's right. Dead last. 11 for 27 from the rim.
At the rim. Yeah. 11 of 27.
Standing there.
Well south of 50%.
Yeah, it's 40.7 if you want to get exact.
Wow, almost 10 points south of 50%. That's pretty wild. What a game.
And I just saw this. Let me drop it real quick. Talen Horton-Tucker over his last three games, averaging 27 points on 64% true shooting percentage, 5 rebounds, and 7.3 assists.
You know what I like about it? And this is true with several Jazz players right now and throughout the season. How about take advantage of an opportunity? You know what I mean? The Jazz are a little short on guards right now. Talen, lest we forget, Coach, was out of the rotation for significant parts of this season. Couldn't get on the floor. You know, the Jazz make some moves. They look long term. You know, they move some players. A guy like Mike Conley, who's so good and going to play and handle the ball. And all of a sudden, there's a role to be had. There's an opportunity. And man, I like seeing people take a step up, take advantage of it, you know, go out and play well. Talen had that run of a few games where he was really turning the ball over at a big clip. He talked about it in the post game, if you remember. And to not be scared to still be aggressive, I think is a good thing. And you're right, his vision's there. He just needs to hone it in a little bit. And I don't think you could do it any better than he did tonight.
Yeah, you're going to give up some, you know. You're not going to be perfect out there, so you're going to have a couple of turnovers anyway. And as much as he handled it, you know, one late turnover where he got up in the air, you know, he doesn't do it as much, but he drove it and jumped and got in the air, and you're just limited. You have to make a decision before you come down, and unfortunately, gravity's a thing. So he just had to throw it, and it was a turnover. But there's far less of those, and definitely more, you know, those proactive half court plays and things. The high end stuff from him is phenomenal. Really is.
Gravity. That Sir Isaac Newton was onto something. That apple.
Dadgum apple.
It came down off that tree. No, but it's really true. That I almost want to not count that turnover, even though that probably counts the most. But it's like it's a silly turnover at the end of the shot clock where you're right. He got caught up in the air and made a turnover. And only, you know, 10 assists to 3 turnovers, you'll take that. 5 turnovers over 2 games. And tonight he played 32 minutes. He probably had the ball half the game tonight and only 3 turnovers. And obviously his teammates were really looking to feed him and put him in good positions. I think that's why Walker Kessler was so excited to talk about him in the post game. And, man, he deserved it tonight.
And there was little to no resistance at the rim. I mean, he was able to get wherever he wanted to get and, you know, so there's a little bit of a Charlotte factor here, because that didn't look like to me that Charlotte is that intent on competing that hard tonight. But the bottom line is, a competitor, you take the ball and take it wherever you can get it. And the Jazz, from the start, were the aggressor. They lost a little ground when they subbed and lost a little momentum, but they got it back. And a great win by the Jazz tonight.
We can talk more about Charlotte as the show goes along, but they didn't, obviously, ball didn't play tonight. wasn't a whole lot of aggression there. I'm surprised how much Gordon Hayward has slipped.
Wow, yeah.
You know, this is a, you know, if you're him on this team, this is a game you'd think he'd be, you know, out there really producing. Tonight, let's see what Gordon's final line was. 11 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. And maybe it's left him physically. I don't know. But I don't, you know, Charlotte really needs the number one pick is what they need.
Yeah, they do. They need the number one pick in the worst way. And we'll wait. We're not far away from deciding that. So we'll see soon. But, yeah, it's an interesting thing comparing the two franchises. The Jazz obviously just kind of dipping their toe in the rebuild. So it's interesting.
All right, let's get back to Charlotte. It's time to hear from Coach Hardy.
Winning in this league is very hard. Winning on the road is very hard. I thought, again, our guys as a team really competed for the entire 48 minutes. When you get up big in an NBA game with the three-point shot and the pace of play, big leads can go away quickly. You know, they made a 10-12 point run to cut the lead down to about 8, I think is what it got to. And our guys just stayed the course, responded, made some big plays down the stretch. Obviously, you know, we did a good job as a team protecting the paint. They had 36 points in the paint, but, you know, credit to Charlotte, they made 17 threes tonight and shot the ball great. As far as our team goes, from an individual standpoint, we had a lot of people play good games. You know, Lowry struggled from the floor tonight, and I thought his teammates really responded and played good basketball. I thought Lowry played a good game, like in terms of the shots he was taking, the looks he was getting, the attacking that he was doing. He just didn't convert many. Walker was 17 and 16 was huge, but very clearly the story of the game is Talen Horton Tucker. I am incredibly hard on Talen. I have been all season. He knows that is because I believe in him, in his talent, his ability. He's still young. He just turned 22. And he has some real physical gifts that were on display tonight, driving the ball downhill. Had his best game of mixing, attacking to score and attacking to find his teammates, with being one rebound away from a triple-double. He was spectacular. And it's not a little thing how he's approached this season. He has not always gotten what he wanted. He had moments where he was out of the rotation during this season, and he's never complained. He's worked really, really hard every day. He's done a great job with our development group and assistant coaches, you know, Evan Brads and his crew, of just trying to get better every day. And he's taken hard coaching from me, and I'm just really happy to see him have some success like this in a big game, when Lowry wasn't playing great and we needed somebody to step up. JC and Colin are out. Like, he just, all the hard work showed tonight, and that's not a little thing. Like, he's dug in this season, and couldn't be happier for him. Like, we're very proud that he's a part of our program, and the way that he's gone about this season, from a work standpoint, from a patient standpoint, and competing and controlling what he can control every day, like, that's what we want to be about in Utah. Like, that's what we want the program to be about, and he embodies that. So really happy for Talen. I wish he had gotten one more rebound.
When you look at how he started this road trip in terms of the game management aspects of the position and where he was tonight, it's kind of night and day. How has he been able to progress, just not only from that, but from the beginning of the season to now, to the administrative parts of being a point guard, just making the reads and running the team?
Yeah, he works at it really hard, and he watches a lot of film. And like I said, he takes coaching very well. He's trying to get better. You know, Talen will be the first person to tell you that he holds himself to a high standard. And he knew that those first couple games of the trip, that wasn't what he wants to be. But again, the NBA is really hard. These are the best basketball players in the world, and the NBA can have its moments where it makes you look bad. You're a little bit off kilter, you're a little bit out of rhythm, and you don't play great, and all of a sudden a game can get away from you. And, you know, I think he hasn't been overly emotional about tough games. He's just put his head down and kept working. And, you know, he's obviously been put into this starting role lately with after the trades and some injuries. So it's a little bit new in that way, but Talen's a hell of a basketball player. And again, he just turned 22. So, like, he has a lot of room to grow. I know we've talked about that a lot with some guys on our team. But he hasn't overreacted to when he's had tough moments. He's just looked at it and said, hey, here's the things that I can control. Here's the areas that I can try to improve in my decision-making. And he's gone out and just tried to do that every night. And it's nice to see him string two good games together. You know, consistency is so key in this league if you want to be a top player. So, you know, he gets all the credit. Like, our job as coaches is to try to help him, try to support him, try to put him in spots where he can be successful, let him know that we have belief in him, and he's the one that's doing the hard work, and he's the one that's making it happen out there on the court. So the credit goes to Talen. Yeah, I think he understands what's real and what's not. He understands that so far to date in the NBA, he hasn't necessarily gotten what he's wanted. He wants to play more. He wants to be in the rotation. He wants to be a key player. And he's just tried to control the parts that he can control. But, yeah, at that age, to have that level of maturity to understand that you might not always get what you want.
All right, there you go. Jazz head coach Will Hardy, his post-game comments, a lot of good things to say about Talen Horton Tucker. We'll get into that in more depth coming up right around the corner for those of you sticking around with us. For those network stations, we will say good night to you. Our next broadcast is coming your way on Monday night. The Jazz take on the Heat in Miami. Game will tip off at 5:30. For those of you sticking around with us, we'll have more post-game sound for you as well. Jazz win tonight, 119-111. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacoe.
Oh, man. Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacoe. Jazz win 119-111 over the Charlotte Hornets. Postgame is brought to you, of course, by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. Coach Combe, we just heard from Coach Hardy, and I thought his comments on Talen Horton-Tucker were really interesting, as Talen was great tonight, 37 10 assists and 9 rebounds. But I thought he talked about how hard he coaches Talen. I thought that was pretty fascinating that he picked tonight to kind of give us a glimpse that he coaches Talen hard, and it's really paying off for him.
Well, it's paying off for Talen. It's also the fact that he's coachable, and he said that. I think that's a huge piece. But, you know, if you're a young guy out there listening and, you know, you wish your coach would pay more attention to you, go out there and do all those things that the coach asks you to do, rebound and guard and fly around. You know, but what Talen has, he's got a little extra. And I think coaches see that, and he knows – you know, I think that Will knows that there's probably some opportunity to find efficiency in his game, and they certainly have done a great job of it throughout the year. But awesome to see it kind of all come together tonight. You know, get that 37 points, which you knew he was cooking from the beginning. His assist game was so beautiful. Passes ahead, simple plays, easy lobs. And then, you know, one rebound away, my man, from a triple-double.
Let's get back to Charlotte and hear from Kelly Olynyk.
Offense or defense fuels the offense, so that makes a big difference when you get going.
Yeah, I mean, it was big for us today, you know, get out and run a little bit, get some stops, you know, get some easy ones. You know, you don't have to, you know, diagram everything and execute everything and work for everything. You know, once you get a couple of easy ones, it makes the game flow a lot better for you.
Is that what's flipped in this road trip, these last two games, just early starts? But look, you've gotten 7 players in double figures last night and 5 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, those starts have been huge for us the last two games. You know, just coming out swinging, you know, making some shots, getting some stops, and you know, just not worrying about having to play from behind, or, you know, just getting into a rhythm of the game, and, you know, having the bench and everybody else follow.
KO, less turnovers, plus you dominated the boards tonight, and the second chance points. You put that all together, and a lot of good things happen.
That's a good recipe right there. Yeah, if we could emulate that every game, you know, we'll be in good shape.
Real quick, THT, he was dynamite. I mean, what did you see tonight? He flirted with a triple-double.
Yeah, he was spectacular. You know, he did everything, you know, and more. You know, made plays, made the right passes, you know, was on the glass. Anytime we needed a big shot, to come up in the clutch, he was there. And, you know, he did it for 4 quarters. You know, there was no lull in his game, which was huge. And, you know, he carried us tonight to this win.
Before I cut you loose, the starting 5, you guys have been pieced together, but it seems like you're really starting to build a lot of confidence and continuity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we finally gotten a couple games, you know, together. You know, obviously after the trade deadline, you know, we were with, you know, Colin was obviously playing with us for the first 3 or 4 games, and then that, you know, switched up. You know, he was out of the lineup, and Jordan was out of the lineup, and it's tough to just, you know, kind of piece lineups together and, you know, expect it to just click like that. But I think, you know, now that we've had a few games together, you know, you can see the cohesiveness and, you know, how we can, you know, play off each other and complement each other, and, you know, it's coming together.
All right. On to Miami. Thanks, KO.
I appreciate y'all. Take care.
All right, there you go. Kelly Olynyk talking a lot about Talen Horton-Tucker, obviously the biggest story of the night. But Kelly himself was terrific. 17 points, 6 boards, had a steal, coach, 7 of 9, shooting 2 of 3 from 3. I mean, that's a really nice night from Kelly.
And what he does, he is like Lowry, he allows the offense to flow. A big guy that can step out and catch, relieve pressure, drive if he needs to, shot fake, create an advantage. And then all the other things, his ability to pass and see the floor, rebound. He gets his share, his money's worth on fouls too, I would say.
He drew a nice one tonight.
Yeah, and he actually missed a foul, an egregious foul that he reached out and grabbed somebody on a layup. So he gets his money's worth there too. You can't fault the effort of the clinic, and that is spelled with a K.
You cannot. And he knows all those tricks, doesn't he? All the tricks of the trade. But he was great tonight. He had a good. The Jazz were really good tonight, outside of Lauri Markkanen, and even he had 13 boards. I mean, if you're only going to go 3 of 22 shooting and have 13 points, you might as well grab 13 boards. 4 of those were offensive. He had 3 assists as well, so contributed in other ways. But outside of that, everybody played well.
And that's a major outlier for our Finnish friend. Because we have not seen anything even close to that nope. all year long.
All right, your final score, Jazz beat the Hornets 119 to 111. We'll have more player sound for you coming up next. Your postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some. Share your own. MySubaruIs.com. More straight ahead. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh my!
Jazz postgame. Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Jazz win 119 to 111. It's time for the Master of the Glass, presented by Safe Light Auto Glass. Proud to present this year's Master of the Glass rebound program at the end of the regular season. Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. Tonight's Master of the Glass, Walker Kessler, with 16 rebounds to go along with the 17 points. And you know what I like about those 16 rebounds, Coach? Half of them came on the offensive side. Half of them came on the defensive side.
Very equitable.
Very equitable. What a balanced game from Walker. But 8 offensive rebounds, that's a great number.
Absolutely great number. He only missed 2 shots, and they were on those 2 putback attempts. So really efficient night, dominated the glass, did such a great job at thwarting Charlotte at the rim, and the Jazz just pummeled Charlotte in every respect, but certainly on the glass, 60-43, and then we talked about the rim numbers. So chalk another one up for Walker F. Kessler, Esquire.
Esquire. He's an attorney now.
Well, for me. in my little vision of him, yeah, he's like Better Call Saul. He's got kind of a dingy office like that.
All right, with that in mind, let's get back to Charlotte. It's time to hear from the man himself. Here is Walker Kessler.
Last week, early starts with defense, and you've been a big part of that. And again, you guys were kind of rinse and repeated from what you happened in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think the guys are doing a great job on their defensive schemes, and obviously our staff has done an unbelievable job on scout. You know, we have a great game plan going into every game.
Rebounding tonight was huge. 60 boards equals second chance points, and your offensive side of the rebounds were outstanding.
Yeah, no question. You know, we got a lot of size on our team, a lot of guys that aren't afraid to crash the boards. So, you know, we dominated tonight on that end.
What do you think's going on right now? Do you guys feel cohesive, comfortable with each other? THT, I'll get to him in a minute. But, wow, it looks like just a team that finally has a bit of a groove going.
Yeah, I mean, I love these guys. You know, I love the staff, I love the fans. But, I mean, these guys are my brothers, and it's been so much fun.
How about THT? What did you see as a player? As T and I calling the game was outstanding, but what did you see on the floor that opened the door for him?
I mean, he was making everything, man. I'm so happy for him. You know, he works his tail off. You know, to see him, those shots fall, and the way he played, you know, the way he's taking that role and really just even dished it out. Man, it was a lot of fun to watch, man. A lot of fun.
And you don't see a guy 6'6", and he said now he's down to 237, but move and just feel comfortable left to right and finishing at the bucket. I mean, and plus his 3 ball is starting to find more confidence.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, you don't see a guy that size to move like that. So, I mean, he's a unique player, an unbelievable player. Just so happy for him.
All right, Skywalker, on to Miami.
That's the plan.
There you go, Walker Kessler. Skywalker. You know, like that from our guy Bowler.
He's going back.
Yeah, not bad. You know, this may just be something that I notice from doing this job. But you know what I like about him? He likes talking about his teammates. He likes talking about other players and playing well. That's not always true. Having interviewed a lot of athletes, I'll tell you a funny story real quick. Paul Millsap. There was a game years ago where Paul Millsap won the game for the Jazz in Miami, and they're coming up in Miami on Monday night. I think it was when LeBron was still in Miami. I could be wrong about that. But Paul Millsap, a last second shot. I mean, he had 30 some odd points. He won the game for. But Kirilla Fasinko had maybe his lone good game in a Jazz uniform. I don't even remember what his line is. But they went to interview him in the post game, and they asked him about Paul Millsap. He said, "What are you talking about? The story of the game was Kirilla Fasinko. I'm here to talk about Kirilla." And everybody kind of chuckled because it sounded funny, but he really was kind of saying, "Hey, I had a good game here. Why aren't we talking about me?" Silly example, but not all players really enjoy talking about their teammates and when they have good games and those sorts of things. And Walker Kessler, when he says he enjoys being here and enjoys playing with this group, I believe him.
Yeah, and you see it the way he plays. Gives his body up. He's certainly in the gym getting better. You know, I think that's indicative of being a great teammate. But you know, the very first thing that David talked about was, "Hey, you had a great game, 16-17, but we're going to talk about the guy who had 37-10-9. and he would say, "Hey, let's do it. And he was completely happy. And you could tell Walker Kessler's the kind of guy you want on your team. And you don't want to play against him because of his ability, but you want him on your team because I think he is – in every respect, he checks the box. Great teammate, great player, great person, and across the board, that'll translate into a pretty successful person over time.
11 of 27, Tim. That's what Charlotte was at the rim tonight.
That's right. And a huge, you know, we used to talk about that all the time with Rudy. It's interesting because Walker doesn't quite thwart the shots. You know, guys are still in that mode where they're going to go up and challenge him. We saw it, you know, toward the end with Rudy, where guys would drive the lane and just circle stop. Back out.
Yep. We'll see that with Walker.
But
eventually.
We will. Yeah. But definitely having an impact on what actually goes through. And the other night, he might have had one of the best blocks, again, with his left hand. He's able to do block with both hands. And again, his offensive arsenal is still there. He's going to be a guy who makes threes in this league.
Rudy may not be here anymore, but I still think they need to come up with a stat category for drove the lane, got frightened, and retreated. Because Rudy had so many of those.
Yeah,
and we'll see it with Walker, too, because you're right. You know, he's still a rookie, and he's rookie rep and all that. Maybe he hasn't been fully scouted, but, I mean, he's blocking shots at just a crazy rate. And that number you keep bringing up, 11 to 27, is just nuts. And so I think he'll start getting whatever that stat category is. I think he'll start racking those up, too. Or, you know, we watched it for years. The best players in the league got into the lane, said, "No, I don't like looking bad on TV," and turned around and retreated. We saw it all the time.
Yeah, it's no doubt. And he's having that impact. So it's his rookie year, very first year we've been able to get to see him, and he's made all of these strides. And there's so much joy in that journey for everybody involved.
Three more block shots tonight.
He's racking them up.
Kessler. And let's see here. I just want to bring up his regular season total, 2.3 per game. And if you give me a minute, I'll bring up NBA block shot leaders. But that's pretty amazing, considering you know, the Jazz, or at least I certainly came into the season thinking that they were void of big men and certainly weren't going to have a rim defender of high caliber. And that is not the case.
Something else he's really good at is, you saw it late, he missed two shots on the stat sheet, but it's because he is so quick after he misses the first one, or if he does miss the first one, to get it back and already be into that second shot. That's something, if you remember, with Rudy, took time.
Yeah.
Because Rudy would grab it, and then he'd have to get on balance. Walker really has a head up there in terms of timing, his offensive timing, his ability to kind of get that second and third attempt or follow his own is really, really impressive.
So the block shot leaders this season, pretty interesting right now. Number one in the league, and he's running away with it, Jaren Jackson Jr., who is a terrific defensive player, all-star, 3.2 blocks per game, great number. Nick Claxton there in Brooklyn is next at 2.6. This next group is pretty bunched up. Brooke Lopez third at 2.5 for Milwaukee. Miles Turner fourth for Indiana at 2.4. And then Walker Kessler at fifth, at 2.3 blocks per game. Man, he could climb the ladder still in these last 15 games. I don't know. I mean, only being a percentage point behind Miles Turner, two behind Brooke Lopez. I mean, he could climb up to second or third in the league in blocks, which would be incredible. But the drop off, between fifth and sixth, Walker Kessler to Joel Embiid is 2.3 blocks down to 1.6. So he's right there in the group of elite NBA shot blockers as a rookie. He could be top three by the time the season is over.
And was just a guy like we talked about. We all talked about the draft picks, but was a really big piece in hindsight to the summer acquisitions. Much like THC, became kind of the theme of the game. Jazz were able to acquire him for Patrick Beverley. So I do believe, again, two more pieces of information would say this front office does a great job of getting talent and understanding what players will fit in the system. And so that trend continues. But we're on the front end of a really fun career with this Walker Kessler.
And Rudy Gobert has 76 total block shots this year, Coach. Walker Kessler has 143.
Wow, that is insane.
Really almost is. Double what Rudy. And Minnesota's doing different things defensively up there than Rudy did here. And I don't want to, turn this into a criticize Rudy segment, because not really the point.
I don't think it's critical. I think it's lauding what Walker is.
It's more how good Walker is.
Yeah, I think that's pretty amazing. For sure.
So he's fourth, by the way, in the league in total blocks. He's actually ahead of Miles Turner, but has obviously played more games.
And I'll also add to that what you said in the very first segment. You talked about what the Jazz did in the summer and called it revolutionary, and you're like, I don't know if that's the best word. In hindsight, it is the best word, because what they basically did was they took two known entities in this league, not just known, but really high-level known entities, and they moved on them. And what we're seeing is what they got back for them. I'm not talking, this is not a Donovan versus Lowry, but what they got back in total and what they're able to kind of now, as they, unpack all of this, what they're able to do now is they've got way more depth. They've got way more leverage. They've got, still high level players, but maybe the guys with the skill level and such that fit going forward. So again, just this should be a study or a paper done on the move, because I think it was that good.
Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some, share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Jazz win 119-111 over the Hornets. We'll have more for you coming up next. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Is in the books. Now, let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz Postgame Show. Here's Jake Scott.
Jazz Postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Real quick, Coach. The Jazz did win tonight, 119-111. Let's see. There's 3 minutes to go. Oh, this has got to be a – hold on. Let me update this thing. We said we were going to keep an eye on the Atlanta-Boston game tonight because Quinn Snyder coaching. It is a final. The Celtics win 134-125, but we were just watching some heated highlights and no call, kind of a kerfuffle involving Trae Young, but they had a shot of Quinn Snyder – riding the official coming up the floor with some choice language, and I thought, the coach hadn't lost it.
He said, That's firebrand.
It's still the same old Coach Snyder. But anyway, the reason we were following that, we said in the pregame, I think we're all following coach to see how he does in Atlanta. Atlanta's not a bad roster, but has not been an overachieving team since they went to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago. So curious. But they lost tonight to the Celtics, 134-125. The Jazz did not lose, however. They beat Charlotte, 119-111. And, man, that Charlotte team was not good, Coach. We've seen the Jazz play some teams that are at the bottom of the standings over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I kind of like what I saw from Orlando. I'm not saying that they're terrific, but I can see what they're working with. I kind of like what I saw from Oklahoma City. I still don't like what I saw from San Antonio, even though they ended up beating the Jazz that night. But I don't know what Charlotte's doing. I realize they were missing a lot of their dudes tonight. But, man, the Jazz were a lot better, more talented team than the than Charlotte. And I don't know if LaMelo Ball himself makes that much better.
Or Magic Johnson, for that matter, really.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But in reality, I think that, yeah, every team we've watched has at least competed pretty hard. That was a really bad effort by Charlotte. I mean, the Jazz got wherever they wanted, lived in the lane and at the rim. To have THT go off on you like that with no answer. They literally had no answer. It kind of shows you what, you know, getting into that tanking, if you get in it too long, you lose your identity. You know, you're kind of, do these games really matter? And it's hard to break that cycle. I think that's what has made what the Jazz have done this year to be able to get the talent, but also be competitive. You know, this win puts them back in the 10th spot for the time being. So they're in the play-in game again. You know, and all this with multiple guys moved. So that culture piece that we've talked about from the beginning, I think it constantly, if you watch the league close enough, it shows that that is a vital, important piece to, you know, preserve, even if you're not going to be a playoff team.
And when I watch kind of some of these lackluster crowds in Charlotte, it's really kind of disappointing because and Jamil's lived out there, and you've been in that part of the country, Coach. Mm-hmm. They love basketball. I mean, they are thirsting to support that franchise, I guarantee you, because basketball is huge in North Carolina. Obviously, it's huge. I mean, Michael Jordan is revered in North Carolina, and it's too bad that they can't put the pieces together to be a functioning franchise, even like they were back in the, unfortunately, George Shinn days, you know, back with Larry Johnson and Lonzo Mourning. I say unfortunately because he was just a dreadful owner. But don't you agree, Jamil, having lived there, they want to support this franchise. Yeah, big time. They just don't give them anything to cheer for. Yeah, it's too bad. But they got a long way to go. And I don't think Gordon Hayward's part of their answer.
No, they're actually looking at the perhaps exit plan.
They tried so hard to move him at the deadline. And we looked up his contract stuff just for a refresher during the pregame. So he makes around $30 million this year. He's going to make 31 next year. But you know what? Next year, at least he's an expiring contract, so they might have a chance to move him. But, man, he's not worth $30 million currently.
And it can just show you, you know, we were talking about this off air, but just how at one point his trajectory was so good and one little, well, not little, but a very monumental injury. But, you know, one day out of his entire career really changed his trajectory and maybe that's where questions come in, where how much he loves the game, you know, anymore. He had to fight so bad to get back. So anyway, it's, to me, again, it shows the foresight you have to have. If you're going to be in the front office, how long are we going to give this guy money? And how long and is it still relevant that he'll be helping the cause at that point? All those things you've got to consider when making deals.
Well, that was not a good one in hindsight. The Hornets signing Gordon Hayward.
Correct.
That was not a terrific deal. And he was not good tonight. What do you have, Coach? 11?
11.
11. Yeah. But, and again, Charlotte missing their guys. This is an opportunity for someone like him to have like a big night going up against his old team. 11 points and 4-10 shooting, 3 boards, 4 assists, and just not effective.
No, not at all. Again, it's age is cruel, you know, and you can either kind of get out and fight it. And we've seen plenty of guys do that. But in Gordon's, you know, in this instance, it's just it's crazy the amount of money he's making. And I just don't think he could even. If he wanted to, you know, he's kind of more of a now spacer shooter guy. crazy.
I won't forget that day he left, that fine 4th of July back in the day.
Everybody panicked.
Well, remember it was reported so badly because I think it was Chris Haynes, who was with ESPN at the time, reported it. And then everybody went into denial mode because Gordon apparently wanted to break it with his Players Tribune letter. And just what a disaster.
It was bad.
What, you just can't control that. So you, when the word was out, the word was out. And, yeah. You know, the Jazz learned some lessons from that. I'd be really curious if I ever got a chance to sit down and chat with Dennis Lindsay later in life. You know, everybody's removed from everything. You know, the lessons they learned from that situation. That was a blow to the franchise. I mean, they were very fortunate, and they made their own fortune, of course, trading for Donovan Mitchell, who was the perfect player for the perfect opportunity, and the rest, as they say, is history. And the franchise was very fortunate for that. But that, you know, 6 months before we knew what Donovan Mitchell was kind of going to become, I think there are a lot of people thinking. I remember hosting shows, Coach, where we were taking phone calls and they were saying, Rodney Hood is going to be the guy now. The Jazz aren't going to miss a beat. And it was like, oh, I don't know if that's it. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Pretty good.
Ronnie's had a good run.
But, yeah. No, it takes a lot of analytics, a lot of foresight. But I think what Ainge and his guys do, it's a lot of gut. I think they use their gut a lot and use it well. And I think the guys that use it better than others are around longer than others.
Yeah. But the Jazz win tonight, 119-111. Coach, let's get into the Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. The Jazz from the line tonight were a very nice 18 of 20, 90%. Talen Horton-Tucker, who, of course, is the story of the game, was 7 of 8 at the line. So you got 7 of those, 37 points right there at the charity stripe, 10 assists, 8 rebounds for Talen Horton-Tucker tonight. What a game for him. But Lauri Markkanen didn't shoot particularly well, but he was good at the line, 6 of 6 at the line. If you look at the Hornets, they were 14 of 15. And you know what? Not a surprise that they only shot 15 free throws, Coach, because as you mentioned before, they were not aggressive. The effort, that was not a high-effort team tonight, not a high-effort performance.
No, and it's, again, a credit to how fun this Jazz team's been. That's one constant with them. They may not always look the best, but they play hard, and that's translated. So it's a good win for the Jazz. They come out of the, you know, Ben and I were talking on Thursday night that if they could win one of those two games, and they got them both, Orlando then turns around and beats Miami tonight. So crazy league.
Post game is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. We'll have more coming up next. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh my! There's some total control right now. Directs traffic. They double him. Top to Olynyk. Tries to get it down low to Kessler. Recovered by Horton-Tucker. 5 on the clock. Working Rozier. Crosses him over. Back between his legs. Wild step back. Fader and he hits. Oh my goodness! Talen Horton Tucker is levitating as he goes back the other way. His feet no longer touch the ground. 27 for Talen.
He would go on to score 10 more, but that is your play of the game. Our guy David Locke, and it's brought to you by Larich Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection, LHMauto.com. driven by you. Yes, the Talen Horton Tucker game, the THT game. 7 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, 14 of 24 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3. And he was great. He had a big dunk. He had a big lob. He did it all.
He levitated, man.
He did levitate.
I just had this visual as we came in. Hey, nothing funny going on. We're just kind of wrapping up. And I had this, like of Harry Potter, you know, some guy levitating across the commons.
You know what's so funny? And you know what? Locke uses levitate a lot. We love David. But you know the visual that comes up in my mind is...
David Blaine?
Is the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones. Did you ever watch the Flintstones? You know what I'm talking about? The Great Gazoo?
Oh, yeah.
Levitating. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's too good. Anyway, yeah. I got caught up in the levitation.
Talen was great. 37-10 and 8. They must have taken a rebound away from him in the final box as this box score has gone final. But 37-10 and 8. And this was his best game in the Jazz uniform. And he's had other good games, but this clearly was that.
And I'm glad they took a rebound because it doesn't make it hurt so bad.
That he was just one board short.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it makes it a little easier, I suppose. But what a game. I mean, man, what a game. And he really was. He was unstoppable. Whoever the Hornets put out there on him, I mean, really, poor Terry Rozier just took a beating tonight. He had a tough night.
He did. And, there's a big difference in those two. You stand them up one against another. Talen's going to win most bouts, and I think tonight his constant attack and really his leaning on him, he wore him down.
Yep,
didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can tell you look at the plus minuses tonight. The Jazz entire starting lineup was plus 17, all five plus 17. Then you go into the bench. And it's a little different story. Minus 13 for Fontecchio, minus 11 for Gay, minus 9 for Jones, minus 9 for Dunn, minus 10 for Juzang. But it's funny, you look at Charlotte, and it's exactly the opposite. And it shouldn't be a surprise, the Jazz bench after the trade and with injuries is not real deep. But the starting lineup played well tonight, played well together. And no doubt that the pieces probably going to be on this team, not probably, but going to be on the team really going forward, were the ones who were playing most of the minutes tonight.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch. Again, I think the Jazz went through a little bit of a spell with a bunch of new guys and everybody getting acclimated and on the same page. But we've seen with Coach Hardy's teams, you know, once they are on the same page, I think the expectation's pretty clear. And tonight was felt like the other night. The Jazz were in total control most of the night, all night really tonight.
Oh, big time!
Yeah,
I mean, they were up were 9-10 at the half, and then up as many as 20 in the third quarter. I mean, it was a beatdown. The Jazz were outscored in the fourth 30-22, but at that point, I mean, the bench was playing, and they had to bring in some guys there toward the end, I suppose, to keep it at arm's length, but never really in doubt. We mentioned Talen's 37-10-8. Walker Kessler had 17 points, 16 rebounds, and 3 block shots tonight. He was excellent. Kelly Olynyk, 17 points, 6 rebounds. Lauri Markkanen struggled to shoot but did other things well. He was 3 of 22 from the field, 1 of 9 from 3. But he was 6 of 6 at the line, 13 points, 3 assists, and grabbed 13 rebounds, 4 of those coming on the offensive side. Ochai Agbaji tonight, 10 points off Jazz, all 5 Jazz starters in double figures. Jazz got 9 from Fontecchio, 7 from Dunn coming in off the bench. Dunn also added 5 assists in 16 minutes, so you certainly like to see that. For the Hornets, Kelly Oubre Jr., 24 points to lead the way for them. Terry Rozier added 22, P.J. Washington with 18, and we talked about Gordon Hayward, who had 11 points. Dennis Smith Jr. with 13 points coming in off the bench, but the Jazz thoroughly beat Charlotte tonight. As you mentioned earlier, this is a big number. Out-rebounded the Hornets 60-43. Whew.
I went to that every single time as a coach, that number first, and I loved when that was just a dominant number. You know, that game tells you that game was, the Jazz won by further. But as you said, a bunch of the guys that are now subbing in and playing rotational minutes, it's their first crack at the apple. You know, they're getting their first chance. And Juzang's learning on the fly. So it's awesome to see what the team's able to do together right now. They're won two games in a row, got off the schneid of losing, and this long trip continues to Miami.
All right, Coach, let's get a few final thoughts on this one before we put it to bed and we turn Jamil loose on the town for a Saturday night.
Well, we've wondered all year long who's THT, and I think the story, as we've gone and been able to see more and more, you see a ton of upside. You see a young guy who loves to play, and tonight kind of all came together for him, one of those memorable nights for him. I know he's not his career high, but at least here in Utah, it hasn't been anything like that. So happy for him. Walker Kessler continues to just dominate. And the thing that probably stands out to me the most about tonight, Lowry did not shoot the ball well, but it didn't feel like that.
No.
You know what I mean? He wasn't out there hunting shots. He wasn't forcing shots. He took his shots that he takes all the time. And tonight, for whatever reason, the way the wind was blowing in there was different than other nights, but he just stayed with it, stayed the course, and other guys picked him up.
Found ways to contribute. And they got a win despite it. I mean, there's been so much talk about how Lowry, you know, the all-star carrying the team and all that sort of thing, and I think that's all true. But he gets a night off every once in a while. You know what I mean? The all-star gets a night where he shoots 3 of 22 and it doesn't quite go his way. But the good news is it didn't, other guys stepped up. It didn't sink the team. They had other things to go to tonight. And I think that says something.
Yeah. That's the culture they're trying to build. Now it's just going to be continuing to acquire monumental pieces as you go. And I think what we've seen is a nice stable of guys that play well together.
All right, we want to say a big thanks to everybody who helped out with the broadcast tonight. Of course, Locke and Boone, appreciate the work they did. Thanks to our broadcast assistants. Thanks to Mike Smith. Oh, no thanks to Mike. Mike didn't jump on with us in the pregame. Never mind. He doesn't get it.
Still, we thank the
he
man.
He doesn't get a thank
thanks
you.
Thanks for being you, Mike.
Thanks to Jamil Hawkins, executive producer of the Jazz broadcast. Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the postgame show. The My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some. Share your own. MySubaruIs.com. And, of course, Coach Lacombe, thank you very much, my friend. Always good to see you.
Enjoy your day off.
You too, man. Enjoy your Sunday. I hope you're doing nothing. I hope you're just chilling.
I'm going to chill.
Maybe strum that guitar a little bit and have yourself a day.
And hang with the kid.
I like it. All right, Jazz win over the Hornets tonight, 119-111. Up next, the Jazz take on the Heat in Miami on Monday night. That game will tip off at 5:30. Pre-game coverage begins at 4:30. You've been listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.